Feingold could see a thin groove where it had fit into the stone floor. He stepped across the groove and found himself in a round chamber. Its walls were smooth but blank. It felt warm inside, and smelled faintly of lilacs? Can't be, Feingold told himself. But that's what the delicate odor reminded him of. Haven't smelled lilacs since I was a kid in California, he said to himself, marveling at the barely detectable scent. He turned in a complete circle. Nothing. Just a bare-walled circular chamber. Like a womb made out of rock, he thought. Warm and smelling of lilacs. There's nothing here, he realized. But there's got to be something. Something's making that smell. There's no lilacs growing within 500 million kilometers of here. Then he noticed a tiny glow, like a firefly hovering before his face. But the glow was steady, unflickering, holding its place before his eyes. It grew brighter and brighter. Like a tiny star, it blazed. Feingold's eyes began to burn. He cupped his hands atop them to cut the glare. Yet the light grew still brighter, dazzling, more and more intense. Feingold wanted to turn away, but he couldn't. Wanted to squeeze his eyes shut against the overpowering brilliance, but he couldn't. For now, he saw shapes in the radiance. Shifting, amorphous shapes at first. But they began to take form. To make sense. Feingold saw flaming stars and whirling galaxies. Whole worlds coalescing out of clouds of gas and dust. Massive stars blasting themselves into wild, bubbling, seething balls of ionized gases in titanic supernova explosions. It was like being weightless again. He was hurtling through the universe, hurtling backward through time, back to the beginning and beyond, back to the birth of the universe. And it all made sense. He understood how it all began and how it came to be what it is now and where the entire swirling, beautiful, awe-inspiring universe was heading. He understood it all. He laughed aloud as he peered deeper and deeper down into the atoms, into the quarks, into the fundamental forces of energy that made the stars and planets and life itself. Feingold's legs sagged beneath him. And he slumped to the rock floor of the chamber, still laughing like a man drunk on the nectar of the gods. The chamber floor felt warm and somehow softly yielding. Feingold curled up and fell asleep, his face still wreathed in a smile of utter peace and happiness. Chapter 5. Stoner pushed his chair back from the restaurant table and announced to Tavalera and Holly, "I've got to leave you." Before either of them could say anything, Stoner explained, "I have another appointment, out in the asteroid belt." Tavalera gave him a skeptical look. "You mean you can't be two places at the same time?" With a wintry smile, Stoner replied, "Only when I absolutely have to." And with that, he got up from the restaurant table and walked away, disappearing into the night. Hardly speaking to one another, Tavalera and Holly finished their dinner, then strolled unhappily to the bandshell, where couples were dancing to the languid beat of the latest Latino rhythms. They danced, holding each other close, feeling each other's body warmth. But Tavalera knew he was separated from Holly almost as completely as if he were already back on Earth. "You could come back with me," he suggested as they walked back through the evening shadows to her quarters. Holly shook her head. "I'm still chief administrator here, remember? I've got responsibilities." After a few silent steps along the bricked path, Tavalera muttered, "Me too."
"Raul, you don't owe them anything," Holly insisted. "They've treated you like crap. Why the hell do you want to go back to them?"
He shrugged. "I know you're right, Holly, but..."
"But you've still got to go."
Nodding. "I've got to. I can't explain why, but I've got to do it." Strangely, she smiled up at him.
"I know you do. And I know why. And I love you for it, damn it."
That caught him completely by surprise. "You do?"
"Yes. I'm as big an idiot as you are, I guess. I love you, Holly. I really do.
I know.
Abruptly, he was in Stoner's starship again, or at least the manifestation that Stoner showed him, in orbit around Earth, incredibly blue and flecked with dazzling white clouds. "I'm glad you decided to return," Stoner said. Yet his expression was far from joyous. He looked concerned, apprehensive. Tavallera found himself standing in the beeping, blinking bridge of the ship, fully dressed, freshly scrubbed, even shaved.
"How do you do things like this?" he asked wonderingly.
Before Stoner could reply, he added, "I know, it's a gift from the stars." "It's something more than that, Raoul." Stoner hesitated a heartbeat, then added, "Something less, actually."
"What do you mean?"
His face grave, Stoner replied, "I've been testing you, Raoul, and you've passed with flying colors so far." Tavallera felt his brows furrow. "You haven't been on the Goddard habitat," Stoner confessed. "You've been right here in my ship all the time."
"But I was there," Tavallera insisted, "with Holly."
Shaking his head, Stoner explained, "That was an illusion, Raoul. A test. I had to—"
"You tricked me!" Tavallera shouted.
"Yes."
"You mean I never really talked to Holly? Never went to the habitat?"
"I can't get around the facts of time and distance," Stoner said. "No one can. I set up an illusion for you. Your real-time conversations with Holly, your visit to the habitat, they were all illusions." Tavallera balled his fists and took a step toward Stoner.
"You lied to me. You made me think—" He wanted to punch Stoner's face, hit him and hurt him.
Stoner stood before him, his arms at his sides. "I don't blame you for being angry, but I had to know."
"Know what?"
"That you'd place the welfare of the human race above your own desires. That even if you could stay with her aboard the habitat, you'd choose to return to Earth."
"You lying son of a bitch! You mean Holly's out there still wondering why I haven't contacted her?"
"I contacted her. I explained to her what was going on here. That's how I got the inputs to simulate her reactions to you."
"And you've had me here in some kind of a trance all this time?"
"Here, and before that in your apartment in Atlanta. I'm sorry I had to deceive you, Raoul. I had to know what your choice would be."
"You tricked me. You made me think—"
"I made you think you were on the Goddard habitat. Yet you still chose to return to Earth and work to avert the nuclear war.
And Holly's still out there, wondering why the fuck I haven't come back to her."
"She knows. I told her. She doesn't like it, but at least she knows what the story is here." Tavallera sank down onto one of the couches in the starship's bridge. He realized it was a fake, an illusion. "All this time he's been playing tricks with my mind," he told himself. "He's been toying with me like I'm some sort of puppy to be trained." Stoner sat on the edge of the couch beside him. "Raoul, I could have controlled your mind and made you do what I wanted, but I wanted to have your free cooperation."
"Fuck you!"
Stoner's dark brows rose a millimeter. "I don't blame you for being angry."
"Double fuck you!"
"I need your help, Raoul. This task is too big for me to accomplish by myself."
"You can go to hell."
"And take all the people on Earth with me?"
"I don't care about them," Tavallera snapped. "All I want is to be back with Holly."
Stoner shook his head slightly. "That's not true, Raoul. When you had the chance to do that, you told her you had to come back to Earth."
"That was all make-believe."
"It was a test, and you made the decision. You didn't know it was an illusion. You thought it was the real thing."
"Yeah, thanks a lot."
"Are you willing to help me?"
"No."
"Can't say I blame you," Stoner replied. "So what do you want to do?"
"I want to go to the habitat and be with Holly."
Shaking his head again, Stoner admitted, "I'm afraid I can't do that. Not unless I commandeer a spacecraft to take you there."
"No instantaneous travel, huh?"
"I can move this starship close to the speed of light, but I can't produce instantaneous travel. Nor instantaneous communications, either. That was all an illusion, I'm afraid." Tavallera could feel his insides shaking. "So what do I do now?" he wondered aloud. "Where do I go?"
"Wherever you want to go," Stoner said. Then he added,
within reason. Anywhere